Welcome to the City Heart Podcast. I'm Pastor Kevin Reed. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that you're encouraged and enlightened by this message.
Let's jump into the message. I'm just all the way off topic. Right. So a couple weeks ago, I was watching a video online, and I do this. My wife's always fussing at me, but I like watching videos online, just random stuff, right? And so I came across this one that this video that was talking about marriage, and I was like, okay, all right, let's check this out and see what this has to say. And it was really interesting because basically it argued this point. It said that, man, this is kind of like, it was like the 10 top reasons why you should never, ever get married, right? And if you're here and you're kind of on that path, just forgive me right now. I'm not going to give you the 10 reasons because I don't want to give you any excuses for why you're trying to get married. No, please get married. But basically the underpinnings of that article basically said this. It said relationships are meant to be broken. So relationships are meant to be broken, so why even try? And I was like, wow, that's a very provocative statement, right? To say, man, relationship, man, it's just going to fall apart, so why even try to get married? Why even try to date? Why even try to have a good relationship with your parents? Why even get involved in that? And there's a lot of articles that you'll read out that kind of, or videos that you'll see that kind of argue this same thing, that is that this kind of inevitability that over time, any relationship that you're going to be in is going to break down, right? And so it kind of defeats the purpose of even being in a relationship because at some point, basically, what all the work that you would do to try to put into a relationship, all the, you know, anything that you might try to work at to make it better, what you're actually doing is what this article was saying. You're actually kind of breaking the fabric of that relationship by even trying to be in it. Right. It was really self-defeating when I was watching it. I was like, man, like, why would you even present that? Like, what's the purpose of it? And so for me, I'm like, I started to think about just the culture that we're in right now. And that's really where a lot of people are at, where it's just like, man, I really don't even want to try to have a good relationship. I don't even want to be in a relationship because, man, I know it's going to be jacked up. I don't want to date because I know, man, this dude's just going to be terrible. He's already ugly, but, man, he's just really going to be terrible after that, right? I don't want to go on a blind date. I'm not going on Match.com or Christian Mingle or whatever. No, I'm not even going to do that. Why? Because inevitably this dude's going to be, he's going to put some picture up online, but then he's going to come up and he's going to be weird. Or she's going to put some picture up online where she's, but then you get there and, whew, you know, you got to pray. And I get it. It's like, I don't want to go on a date. And like before the date, you're kind of praying in the closet like, Lord Jesus, please don't let this dude be ugly. Please, please, please. Lord, please let her not have a big mole on the side of her face. Like you can go into it like that. And that's kind of what this article was saying. Like, why even try? Because even if by chance you happen to get into a relationship, it's going to break apart. And it also said that the ones that actually where you have good relationships, it's an anomaly. Right, it's a freak, right? It's not normal to have a good, solid, quality relationship. And for a moment there, I was kind of upset. I was like, man, why would you even say that? But then I was like, you know what? I understand where you're coming from. I don't agree with it, but I understand why you're saying it. I understand why they're coming to this conclusion. But for me, I was saying, man, I really want to look beyond the conclusion that is being reached to really understand why we've come there. And I really feel like, man, we are meant to be in relationships. That's the conclusion I came into. Man, I'm just gonna, man, I can't accept the conclusion that they came to at the end of the article, right? And the points they have for why they weren't getting married, there were some funny ones, but I was like, yeah, and I might have experienced some of those. You know, you're like, oh, but what in any relationship, and all of you know this, man, the good outweighs the bad. The good should outweigh the bad. And if you look at any strong relationship, you can look and see that, man, the good outweighs the bad. And that's, for me, that's enough reason to be in it. But for some people, they're like, man, if I'm going to be in a relationship and it's going to have any type of trouble, then I'd rather not be in a relationship at all. And that's, to me, that's just a defeatist attitude. Because inevitably in your life, there's going to be some trouble. There's going to be something that you're going to come up against. There's going to be some struggle. There's going to be something that's going to come that's unexpected, that's going to challenge the relationships that you have, whatever type of relationship it might be, whether it's marriage, whether it's dating, whether it's your family, whether it's your friends, there's going to be something that's going to cause some friction. This week, I know that there are dudes, probably this last week, who dumped their girlfriends this last week. Why? Because I don't want to have to buy a Valentine's Day gift. I know that's happened. It happens, right? I know that happens. I know, right, that those types of things happen. Why? Because when, man, I don't want to face any conflict. I want to, man, if I don't have to pay for that, man, I want to pay a balloon and a bear. What? I'm not gonna be balloon and a bear. You better get this flower, girl. We go to McDonald's. I get you something off the dollar menu. Like that's what you're getting, right? But my point. I'm sorry, I just got way off, right? But what can happen is that if there is any conflict or anything that can come in and be a wedge, we kind of will say, man, well, if there are going to be problems, if there are going to be issues, I'd rather not do it at all. I'd rather not even get involved. I'd rather not even work on it. But I can't accept that conclusion. To me, it's brokenness. It's broken, I can't accept that conclusion. We shouldn't accept the conclusion, because what it does is that it draws us into this belief. Because with accepting or even entertaining that belief, man, it comes with certain feelings. And my wife kind of alluded to it earlier, but man, there's feelings that people get, especially around the time of Valentine's Day. It comes up for a lot of people. And maybe you've kind of been in some bad relationships, especially with if you're dating or have been married or married. I mean, it seems like this week people just... There's always some weird stuff on the news of how people react. And I really feel like it comes from a particular feelings, these three particular feelings in general. The first one is this, it's loneliness. It's loneliness. Around this time of year, people just start, I don't know what it is. I mean, it's Valentine's Day, you want a boo, you want a bae, you want somebody that's going to bring you something. But if you don't have that, you can feel lonely. And when you're lonely, read here, it says, man, you can feel isolated, you feel alone, you feel friendless, you feel like you have no one to turn to, you feel forsaken, you feel abandoned and rejected, you feel unloved, unwanted, or maybe even outcast, like you don't belong, right? So there's loneliness. Another feeling that you can feel is this, you can feel despair. You can feel despair, and that's, man, it's just general hopelessness, right? There's, man, nothing good is ever going to happen to me. You can be just general discouragement or desperation or distress or anguish. You can feel unhappiness or depression. This is what happens when people get in relationships, when stuff gets sticky in relationships. This is, or if you don't have something going on, this is how you can start to feel. The third one is this, and I mentioned in this one, is desperation. And what is desperation? I'm giving you the definition of this one. It's feelings that result in rash or extreme behavior, or cause us to make kind of bad decisions, right? You want to be in a good relationship, you want to try, but then it's like what happens a lot, you'll drop your standards to be with somebody that doesn't match up to who you know you're called to be or who you want to be. And why? And we do it out of desperation, right? Or we make decisions, hey, I'm just going to go to a completely different lifestyle because I can't seem to get with somebody that seems to like me. Happens, right? Or man, I'm just gonna wild out. I'm not dating anybody ever. I'm never gonna get married. I used to say that. I'm talking about me. I used to say that. What, kids? That was a four-letter word. It was a real four-letter word. Like, I'm not doing that. I'm not getting married. I'm not having kids. I used to say that, and I made these decisions in my life, and it was really out of desperation. I was lonely. Can I be honest, right? Can I have my Oprah moment right now? Can I just be honest and tell you there was a moment in my life where I was lonely. I was by myself, and I was like, God, there's got to be some girl out here that's not crazy. There's got to be one that I can be with, right? That's what happens, right? And we make these decisions. We start having extreme behaviors. We start doing stuff. People buy dogs because they can't date, so they do something. That's not that extreme. People are like, all right, but it's okay to buy. No, it's okay to buy a dog. You need a dog, buy a dog. But I'm just saying, people just start to do crazy stuff out of desperation. But here's the thing. Here's why they do it. They don't recognize the enemy's part in playing in that. What the enemy's trying to do, the goal of the enemy, is brokenness. He wants all these things, the depression, and desperation and loneliness, those are tools of the enemy to try to get us to feel and to continue to be broken. He wants us to stay in this place of brokenness. And he achieves this goal by telling us lies and sowing dissension into our relationships. That's how he works. Why? Because, man, the enemy, he comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his game. That's his only game. That's it. He comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. So if he can do this, if he can get us to accept this false belief that I'm lonely, that this is going to be my existence, that I'm always going to be in this place of despair, that I only can make desperate decisions, then he has won. And we've allowed him to come and get into our lives and be something that we're not supposed to be. He wants to ruin us and sow brokenness into our lives. And what it's to do is to rob us of meaningful relationships, meaningful friendships, meaningful family friendships, meaningful marriages, meaning somebody that you can date that might be meaningful. And maybe it doesn't go, doesn't go to where you want it to go, but you learn something from it. He would love us to stay in a place where we're not doing that. But here's the thing about the enemy. He has no authority. He has no authority. The enemy works through influence. That's the way he operates. He has no authority over you. He only operates through influence. Why influence? Because the enemy doesn't have authority. So the only way he can cause us to harm us, to influence us, is to make us do things like sin, or make us do things like, man, begin to doubt ourselves, or begin to doubt God, or begin to doubt our place in life, or begin to get in this funk that's so terrible that, man, I don't even want to talk to anybody anymore. Man, I don't want to date anybody. Man, I don't even want to see my family. Man, they hurt me so bad back in the day. I don't even want to talk to them anymore. That's what the enemy's trying to do. That's his plan. That's his goal. That's what he's trying to do, to steal, to kill, and to destroy our relationships. But here's the thing, as I said before, he does not have authority. And in fact, the Lord has given you authority over the enemy. Let's read it. Luke 10:19 says, "Look, I have given you," this is the Lord speaking, "look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy," right? You have authority. And it says this, and people always take this one part of the verse and get weird about it, right? "And you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you." Now, people have taken that one part of the verse and started churches off. Hey, we're going to handle scorpions and snakes. I'll pray for you. What the Lord is saying there is that, man, anything that might come against you, anything that may harm you, you already have authority over it. So this is not license to go ahead and build a pit and put a bunch of scorpions and snakes in it, and now you're trying to be Indiana Jones up in there. This is not the time for that. What it is saying is that understand the power that you have, and understand the power that the enemy does not have. He does not have authority on you. He can't keep you in a place of loneliness. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay in a place of despair. And that could go for anything in your life, whether it's relationships or whether it's something that you're even believing for. He has no authority over you. I know that might be news to somebody today. They feel like, man, why is this happening to me? And sometimes we blame God. God, why is this? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? It's not God. When stuff happens on this earth, you have to recognize, man, there is an enemy who is trying to do you harm. He's trying to kill. He's trying to destroy you, but you already have authority over him. And so I don't have to stay in the place where I'm continually falling back into habits or situation or doing desperate things because I'm afraid. I have authority. I win. I can crush snakes and I can crush scorpions, even though I'm not telling you to try it. But that you have the power to do that and not be injured. Let me give you a really practical example of kind of how this works. Why? Because the enemy is not going to stop trying to scheme and influence. He's not going, even though he knows he can't win, he knows he's already lost. But that doesn't mean he's not going to continue to try to jack you up and jack up your relationships. He's going to continue to do it. And it reminded me of this story. And it's a story that I know all of you know because we all learned it as a kid. And that's the story of the three little pigs. Right? And you know what happens in the story. The wolf wants to eat. I am hungry. right? And so he's hungry, and he starts walking down Three Little Pig Lane, right? And he comes to the first house, and the first house is made of straw. Come on now. I know y'all ain't that old. Straw, right? Straw. And the wolf says, he says, little pig, let me in. And the pig says, not by the hair on my. Look at y'all learning stuff today, right? And the wolf says, okay, then, well, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down. What does straw represent? What, man, if we're, straw is easily blown away. If I have some straw, and I got some little pine straw here, right? If I go, right, it's easily blown away. Right? Or even, right, and so he comes to the next house, right, that he kind of huffs and puffs the straw house down, and that pig escapes, and he goes to his brother's house, who lives in the house of sticks, wood, right? He goes to that next house, and he says, hey, little pig, I'm hungry, let me in. I'm trying to eat today. And the pig says, no, I'm not going to let you in, not by the hair of mine. Right. He says, okay, then, I see you. Well, I'm going to huff and I'm going to puff, and I'm going to blow your house down. Now, obviously, sticks are a little bit heavier than straw, right? But still, what happens is if I put enough on there, it's going to blow down. I didn't just drop it. I actually blew it. It didn't blow off. See? Whatever. The wolf had more lung capacity than I did, so he was able to see. See, don't make me have to explain scientifically how it blew down, but it happened, right? There's some weight there on a stick. It's a little bit more sturdy, right? But still, it's going to succumb to pressure, right? It's going to succumb to pressure. The last thing, right? The big wolf. He's at 301 Little Pig Lane, and he gets to the house, and this house is a little bit different, right? And he says, "Little pig," they're all three in the house. Now, man, let me in there. I'm hungry. I want to eat. Man, I'm trying to destroy something in there. I'm trying to eat. Let me in. And all the pigs say together, not by the hair of mine. Y'all are listening today. This is wonderful. I love the crowd interaction. This is great, right? Right? And so he comes to the brick house, and he's puffing, and he's puffing, and he's blowing, but it's not the same result as before. The same thing is not happening, because he's coming up to this house that has bricks. It's made out of bricks. And he's trying to blow. Time out. Okay. Man, I can't get in there. Why? It's because, man, these bricks are heavier. There's more weight to them. And it's a thing. I don't know if you've seen any house. I'm sure you've seen it. Any house that has bricks also has what's called mortar. Right? Mortar is basically this, and I gave you the definition. I put it up for you. Mortar is a workable paste used to bind bricks together, right? It fills and seals the irregular gaps between the bricks. Pastor Kevin, why are you talking about the three little pigs today? Well, here's the reason. Like mortar, God's desire and plan is for us to be fully intertwined with every part of who you are. What the mortar does is that it takes this. While this might be great, right, if I ran a car into it, if I give it a big push with a bunch of them piled up, it's going to fall over. But if I put some mortar in between there, if I layer it and fill the gaps in the holes, and I'm making sure, man, that it's all taken care of, it's not going to move in the same way. It's stuck together. It's connected. It's what God wants to be with us. He wants to be in and a part of every part of our life. He wants to be in and through all and helping us to be bound together. In a solid relationship, God is the mortar, right? He fills in every gap. He's helping us to form a strong bond. He seals two parties together so that they cannot be separated. And here's the thing about it. Why is mortar so important? Why is this glue, this workable glue? Man, why is it so important? It's because we always try to do relationships without God. You ever notice that? We always want to do our friendships. Man, I want to be friendship, but I don't really want God in my friendship. All right, I want to be married, but man, God, you can kind of stay over there. I'm going to have my marriage over here. Or man, this is the big one. Man, I want to date, but I don't want God. I don't want you in my dating life. You hang over. I'll see you on Sunday. Friday night, me and mom, we're going to do our thing together. But God's saying, no, I want to be a part of every part of your life. I want to go in those irregular gaps, those spaces in your life, those things, man, I want to cover it all. I want to be a part of it all. Why? Because I want you to be as strong as you can be. I want you to be unbreakable. I don't want anything or any wind or any stream to come and just blow down your relationships because I'm not in it. I want to build you in a way that no matter what comes against you or your relationship, you won't just topple over. You won't just fall down. I'm trying to build you into something great, but I know that you need me to be in the middle of it and all throughout it so that it can be strong. We read the verse earlier that said, man, therefore, who everyone, Matthew 7:24, therefore, and whoever heeds his words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall. Why? Because it had its foundation on the rock. Not only are we building our house on God, but he wants to be involved in every part. He wants to be involved in everything. And here's the thing, when we take God out of our relationships, when we take him out of our dating life, when we take him out of our family, when we take him out of our marriages, right, we see stuff begin to fall apart, and then we're looking at God like he's the one that caused it. He's been saying, man, I've been trying to be there. I'm trying to get involved. Let me in. Allow me to be a part of everything that's going on with you. Don't disclude me from your dating life. Right, I know it's been a long time. I get it. I know, it's probably been a year or two since you've gone on a good date with a good dude or you've gone on a quality date with a good girl and you're just like, man, I'm later for dating. I'm good. Man, I got Netflix and chill by myself. Right? I know that's kind of where we get. But God's saying, man, let me get involved. Man, call to me. Let me show you how I want to set you up for success. I know your marriage has probably been struggling. There's stuff you're going through that, man, you don't understand. Man, Lord, why are we going through this? And the Lord's saying, man, have you taken me out of your marriage? Are you following what my word says about your marriage? Or are you trying to do this continually by yourself? And then wondering why stuff's falling apart. He's saying, man, put me back in. Let me be in the middle of it. Let me be the mortar. I want to be involved in it. An unbreakable relationship is one that is centered and built on the foundation of a relationship with God. And here's the thing about it. Before I connect with anybody else in a relationship, I need to make sure that I'm connected myself, that there is a first relationship that I'm in, and that one's between me and the Father. I want to make sure that he's in my life. So, I have to make sure, man, if I'm going to have a quality relationship with my wife, I have to make sure that I'm working on me. I have to make sure that who I am, man, that I'm not just some straw or I'm not some sticks, man, but I'm a brick. There's some weight to me. I'm not coming into this like a lightweight. I'm coming to the relationship, man, I've got some stuff to bring to the table. And you know what? When we get together, man, I want God to be in the middle of it because I don't want to just break down. Oh, man, God, you be the mortar. Man, let's connect. Let's bind together. I want to be in a place where, man, nothing, man, if I get pushed, if something comes, that I'm not just falling down. When I connect with my family or my friends or this person that I'm dating with or this person that I'm trying to marry, that, man, there is something there that is binding us together that I won't fall apart. That's what God's trying to do. That's what he wants to do in our lives. How do I begin working on me? How do I get to a place where I am unbreakable, where I am strong? First thing, we read it earlier. I have to give God my all. So I read it earlier. It says, man, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Are you allowing God to be in every part of your life? Is there a part of God that you're hiding in a closet? Is there a part of God, is there a part of your life where you have discluded God from being a part of it? You have to ask yourself that question, man. Is there something there that I'm not allowing God to be in? Am I building my relationship with God out of straw? where something comes along and I'm easily just, man, I was good on Sunday, then by Tuesday night, something happened, and now I totally forgot my relationship with God. That happens to a lot of us. I don't want to be easily blown off track. So the thing about it, if you're building a house with straw, as good as it is when the wind comes, it's going to take it away. Same thing with sticks. If I bundle together as many sticks as I can, and I use rope, and I tie it all together, you know what's going to happen? There's still going to be some wind that's going to come flowing through there. Let some water come up against there. It's going to hit me. I need to make sure that, man, I am a solid surface, that I'm solid in God, that, man, he's doing something amazing in me. So I want to make sure that I am solidly and faithfully committed to God. I can't just be with him on a Sunday and then forget about him by Tuesday night. Man, I want to be solid in my every day when I wake up. I want to give glory to God, and I want to open a door for God to be in and involved in every area. That's what the type of relationship that God is looking for from us. So the first thing, as I said, is giving God my all. The second thing here, and I'm just about done. I'm done, basically. The second thing here is, man, I have to put God's word into practice. How do I start making sure that I'm an unbreakable me? I have to put God's word into practice. Matthew 7:24 says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Even when you're building your house out of bricks, when you are building on the rock, there has to be something that drives the rock into a solid place. There has to be something that you allow that's, man, that's just tough as nails. I forgot my rebar. I had a piece of rebar, right? What they do on most houses, they take the strongest thing they can find. I don't know if you've ever been to Lowe's or Home Depot and seen some rebar. It's basically this piece of steel, right? It's really tough, and they drive it into the ground so that nothing can move. Nothing can shake it. Man, that there's nothing that can come against it or allow it to be. And I want to be that way. What happens when we apply the word of God to our life? When we begin to allow the word to be driven into our hearts and to be driven into everything that we're doing, when we allow it to be the all, man, God, what does your word say about how I should date? What does your word say about how I should be married, about what I should do as a husband in my marriage, about how I should be as a wife in my marriage? What does your word say about how I should treat my family, how I should treat my kids, how I should treat my parents? What does the word say about that? I want to make sure that I'm applying the word to my life so that when stuff comes, I know that what I have built my house out of is something strong, but not only that, that I have allowed it to be covered in mortar. I have allowed it to be covered with God, in and filling in every gap. So the places where I'm not whole, and I can recognize that, man, I'm not whole, that God comes in and he fills that gap. And the places where I recognize that, man, this is kind of messed up. This is, man, I'm still working, man. I'm kind of in the stick place right now, Pastor. I'm trying to get to the brick place. But I'm kind of in the stick place. But God's saying, you know what? That's okay, baby. Man, I'm going to go in and I'm going to fill in the gaps. I'm going to be that strength for you. I'm going to make sure that you're strong until you get to the solid place. You do that by practicing the word, by living this word out. He didn't just write it just so we can come in on a Sunday and I can quote random scriptures. No, he's saying, I want you to apply it to your life, to begin to practically live out what the word says. I love this verse, Isaiah 40:8. And it says, man, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. This word, his word, is made to be unbreakable. As we connect it with our lives, it's made to fortify and solidify whatever it is that we're connected to. So with my friendships, if I allow the word and God to be involved in my friendships, it's going to fortify and solidify my friendships to make sure that who I'm connected to are the type of people that, man, when the waves come, when the streams flow, when that stuff comes against me, that it's not just going to fall apart because it's built on the word. I'm in a place right now where I'm saying, Lord, I invite it to come. I want it to be there. I want to test and make sure that even my marriage is as strong as it can be. I want to make sure, God, man, am I allowing you to be the mortar? Am I allowing you to be in every crevice, in every crack, in everything where I might be broken or we might be broken? Am I allowing you to come in and be all that I need you to be in my life? For some of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we recognize that, man, I'm not in a great place, or maybe I haven't, man, I've allowed God to fill one spot, but I haven't given him the other spots of my life. I've allowed him to come, man, when I'm ready to dream for something, but not when I'm ready to give something up that's killing me. Man, when I want something, I'm saying, God, yes, Lord, give this to me. But when I'm in a place where, man, God, where I know I need to leave something alone, it's too much right now, God. But he's saying, man, allow me into even those vulnerable places. I'm trying to work to make you as strong as you can be. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for your relationships. It comes as we are connected to his word. It comes as we become unbreakable. Bow your heads, let's pray.
Thank you for checking out this message from City Heart Church. If you'd like to hear more from this series, or if you'd like to hear more about our church, you can check us out online at cityheartjackson.com, or you can check us out on social media at cityheartjxn.